Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we praise you and bless you that we can read your word. And Lord, we ask now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you'll help us to understand it just that bit better than we've ever understood it before. But more than that, Lord, we ask that you will help us to do what your word commands us to do. And Lord, by doing that, that we will become more Christ-like. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, only the other day, one member of our congregation said to me, "When I wake up in the morning, I just thank God that I live for another day." What a way to begin each day, isn't it? And how great to be thankful. And yet, sadly, many times a day, perhaps we moan about things rather than giving thanks. There's always something to moan about or complain about, whether it's the weather, our ill health, our irritating neighbour or friend or whatever. But actually, the Bible exhorts us to be people who give thanks. So we're going to have a look at this passage in Philippians, and Paul here begins with the words, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And very often this book, this letter to the Philippians, is talked about as the letter of joy. And what do we think when we hear those words, "Rejoice in the Lord always"? Maybe we're thinking, oh, it's all right for Paul and the Philippians. They don't know what my life's like. My life isn't like theirs. But let's hang on a minute, for in actual fact, at this time when Paul writes this letter to the church at Philippi, Paul is in prison, he's awaiting trial, and has no idea what his fate might be. And of course, by this time, Paul had suffered in many ways. He had to flee for his life when they tried to kill him. He endured beatings. He was even shipwrecked. So I think maybe Paul did know quite a bit about rejoicing always, even when times were very difficult. So what is this joy that we are to have? What is Christian joy? It's not something that we just feel overwhelmed, bubbling with happiness. But Christian joy means that it's something that we can actually experience in our hearts. It's that assurance that Jesus' presence is with us always, 24/7, no matter what. So whatever we are challenged by, whatever we are troubled by, we know that Jesus is with us. And that gives us a joy that nothing can actually extinguish. God is Almighty God and Father. He's everything under his control, even when perhaps it doesn't always feel like that. And so, to be able to rejoice always, we need to remember the love of God, the wisdom of God, and the power of God. He is Almighty God, and yet he has great compassion for each one of us in whatever situation we find ourselves. And we have the saving power of our Lord Jesus Christ to help us. So Paul goes on to talk about prayer. And prayer is our lifeline to our God and Father. We often, when people are in hospital, talk about them having a line in, which might be pain control or whatever. But our lifeline is our communication with God. It's important to keep us going. Prayer to God, who is our Father. And the more we use it, the easier it becomes. It doesn't get blocked in any way. And praying is simply talking and listening to God. And so every one of us can do it. We can't say we can't pray, because we all talk and we all listen. So we can all pray. And in verse 6, Paul reminds us that our prayer should be made in an atmosphere of thanksgiving. In everything, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. It's lovely, isn't it, when we've got small children, maybe grandchildren, or we hear children and they remember, even when they're tiny, to say please and thank you. And we teach them that because we know it helps to create a thankful heart, a grateful heart. So it's the same with us. When we are thankful, we are eternally thankful and grateful for all that God has done for us. And what about Jesus? He, of course, is our great example. And he came to earth. He came to show us how to live our lives. And Jesus gave thanks. Can you think of situations when Jesus gave thanks? I hope you can, because we've got communion today and we know that Jesus gave thanks for the bread and the wine, even though he was facing death. But he gave thanks too at the feeding of the 4,000 and the 5,000. He gave thanks before Lazarus was raised from the dead. I think it's very interesting that those prayers of thanks were followed by miracles. He also gave thanks for those whose eyes had been opened so that they could believe and trust in God. So we have a great example in Jesus, and following his example, we should also be thankful. Let's just take a minute in the quiet of our hearts to think of five things that we can just say thank you to God for. It's not very hard, is it? We have so many things to thank God for. The fact, as one member says, to wake up and I'm alive. For our food, for the beauty around us, for the freedom that John talked about this morning, to be able to come and worship without fear. For the love of God, for all that Jesus has done. So many things. Let's be a people who give thanks. But then we have a command from here in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. Well, you may say, well, I'm a born worrier. And actually, I can't imagine a life where I'm not worried about anything. Many of us worry, don't we? There's always something to worry about. But actually, as Christians, we shouldn't be troubled and worried where we can't think or do the right thing. Corrie ten Boom, I don't know if you know about her. In the Second World War, she was in a prison camp in terrible situations, and her sister actually died in the camp that they were. But she said this: worrying is a cycle of inefficient thoughts whirling around a centre of fear. I'll say that again. Worrying is a cycle of inefficient thoughts whirling around a centre of fear. And where does fear come from? Does fear come from God? Of course not. No, God doesn't want us to be fearful. And yet we continue to worry about health, about children, grandchildren, finance, relationships, and the list goes on. So how can we obey this command? Paul gives us the answer. He says, take every situation by prayer and petition to God. You see, we have a God of solutions. Because when we worry, nothing changes. Worrying doesn't make changes to our situations. But when we take our worries to our Heavenly Father, you are taking them to a God of solutions. And our God is the one who can show us the way forward. However, I think sometimes we're tempted to tell God what to do about our worries instead of allowing him to give us a solution. We don't tell God what to do because God's ways are very often different from the way that we would have sorted something out. But we are to talk to him about them and leave the worrying to him. Once we have prayed and given it to God, don't take it back again. Because sometimes we pray and then it's fine for a minute and then we're back to worrying again. We need to be upfront with God. And if that happens, then give it back to God again. And be specific when we pray. Jesus did this himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. We don't hear much about what Jesus felt like and what his anxiety was. Because don't forget, he was human. And he was facing a horrible, horrible death. He knew he was going to be arrested and he knew what was going to happen. And yet, when he prayed to God his Father, he said, "If it's possible, let this cup be taken away from me." And then he left it in his Father's hands. He trusted God. And so when he was crucified, he was able to be trusting in God for the resurrection. He was able to say, "It is finished. I have paid the price of the sin of humankind." He was able to say to the thief who repented, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Because although he'd been anxious about dying on the cross, even though he'd said that prayer, he knew he could trust his Heavenly Father. So we too can pray about anything at all, because as our Father, he loves us, he hears us, and he answers our prayers. And then we are promised that when we do this, we will experience the peace of God. Look at verse 7. When we have prayed and given our petitions to God, the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds. God's presence brings peace. It's a bit like a little girl who falls and cuts her knee and it's bleeding and it hurts and she's got bruises. And her daddy comes along and he picks her up and immediately she stops crying. Why? Because her daddy is holding her. The knee is still bleeding, it's still hurting. But everything has changed because her daddy picks her up and holds her tight. And that's a picture of what God is like with us. When we take our worries to him, he envelops us into his arms and comforts us with his presence. He holds us close. Our God has great compassion and comfort and healing. Nothing is too great for his power. And nothing is too small for his fatherly care. So as we pray, we can pray about the past. Maybe forgiveness needs to be sorted. We can pray for our needs in the present, but we can also pray for the future, for God's help, his guidance, and support. And finally, of course, we are to pray for one another and the needs of the world, as Jesus did. And in the church here, we have that opportunity to pray for the needs of the world. On the second Monday of each month, we have a prayer meeting. And wouldn't it be great if we had this many people attend the prayer meeting to pray for all of humankind? Because Jesus tells us to pray for everyone. And Paul, in other letters, tells us to pray for church leaders, for world leaders, to pray for all people, Paul says. And Jesus himself in John's Gospel chapter 17, he prayed specifically for Christian believers. Three things I took note of. He prayed that they would become holy people, because it's only when we are holy that we can be salt and light, drawing others into the kingdom of God. Jesus prayed for the protection of Christians, and he prayed for Christian unity. So we have that opportunity. But we also have a prayer ministry team, and they will be sitting over here and to my left in a moment, and they are people who will pray with us And we're told to pray for one another and to give thanks. And we'd love to see you at the prayer meeting, but also taking advantage of this prayer ministry, this opportunity, which you can have when you've taken communion today or at the end of the service. So finally, we are to be a people of prayer. And the wonderful promise of peace and the word that is used about guarding our hearts is a military term, and it means that the peace will stand guard at our hearts so that we will not fear, so that we will not doubt. There's no room for fear when God's peace guards our heart. So let's pray more and more for one another, for ourselves, so that we are people living without fear. And let's become less worriers too. Let's give it all to Jesus because he cares for you and me. Amen.